We're here again. Tisha B'Av has rolled by again. And every year, as I lower myself to the ground, it doesn't get easier as the years go on. I think to myself, this has got to be the last Tisha B'Av. We're not doing this again. It's a miserable day. It's an unhappy day. Unpleasant, unclean. It's a nishka gishmaka day. It's a hard day. We're not doing this again. But yet somehow every year, Tammuz rolls around and Shivas Tammuz starts. Then comes Rosh Chodesh Av, Tisha B'Av itself. And we're hit with the year in, year out. Is this ever going to stop? And then it occurred to me that do we really, really care? And what I mean is that, you know, when Shivas V'Tammuz comes by, we know this, we know the score, we know what's coming. We prepare ourselves, we know the script. We're pros, we do it every year. So before Shivas V'Tammuz, we take a haircut, so we're not going to look scruffy for the next 3 weeks. As far as the music's concerned, there's always a cappella. And you listen to a cappella today, and with all the beatboxing in the background, you wouldn't know if it's a 15-piece band or not. And we get by with the music. One very popular local Rav told me that the question he gets asked most from all the shiners all year is from Sem girls, post-Sem girls, Bochrim. Can we listen to music in the 3 weeks? It's mental health, we need it. And he's Makel. So the music goes on. Comes towards the 9 days. How many of us keep to the age-old halacha of trying our shirts on for 30 minutes, as the halacha prescribes before? I've noticed a massive decline in that. Yeah, we'll put it on the floor, we're fine. The floors are pretty clean today. It's we're okay. We'll take the b'di'evet. Comes to the 9 days. Suddenly we're all istanis, we're all delicate and fussy, and we need to have more showers than Yamol. It was 9 days straight without a shower, maybe Erev Shabbos. Today we're somehow struggling with that, we can't do it. So we're beginning istanis, the halacha allows us. What about meat, chicken, or Hashem? There's pizza and chips, smoothies and iced coffee. And we're good, we look forward to that. It's an opportunity to dive in, and anybody who visited any of the takeaways over the 9 days will know what I'm talking about. They were infested with Klal Yisrael buying the pizza. So we're good, we get by. Comes to Tisha B'Av itself. We've also got Eitzes, we've got the tablets. We spend the day with videos and films that they put on. We manage. Yid Tutzach Eitzah. Tomorrow, 1:14. We're going to hit 3 buttons. The washing machine, the shaver, and Shweki. And then we'll take a shower, and the imperial leather will wash away the last vestiges of our mourning. And we're good to go. And then comes holidays. The roof boxes, the roof bags, and we're off on holiday. And the 3 week period is just, we got by. Does it really hurt us? Does it really hurt? I sat Shiva for both my parents in the recent years. I had no cheshek for music, no cheshek to wash, no cheshek to nothing. Somehow when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we find eitzes. There's an obvious difference. I knew my parents well. Wonderful people that they were. I benefited so much from them. So when they're not here, we mourn them. The Beis HaMikdash. We didn't know a Beis HaMikdash. How can we mourn something we didn't know? So I think if we take a few minutes to be mespoiling a little bit in what the Beis HaMikdash gave Klal Yisrael, and even though we never benefited from it, but we can be misabel, we can mourn something that we didn't know if we mespoiling on what it gave to Klal Yisrael. So let me start with the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon said, Vilna Gaon was one of the Achronim, and the Vilna Gaon said that he can you imagine what a Rishon was like? Can you imagine the greatness of Rashi, Ramban, Ritva? He has that imagination. We probably couldn't even imagine what the Chazon Ish was like. But the Vilna Gaon, as great as he was, he could manage what a Rishon was like. Imagine. He could also imagine what Namoira, the greatness of a Namoira. It needs more imagination, but he could do it. Abaya, Rava. The Vilna Gaon said he could imagine the greatness of a Namoira. He could even, with a bit of a stretch, imagine what a Tana was like. Rav Kiva, Rav Yossi, Rav Meir. The Vilna Gaon could do it. But said the Vilna Gaon, a simple Poshut Yid, living in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, I have absolutely no clue. I cannot be masig the greatness of a simple Jew living in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. No problem with Rashi and Tosfos. No problem with Abaye and Rava. Even Rabbi Akiva, but not a simple Yid in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. There was something about that Beis HaMikdash that Gleiv Kabi saw so much. And that's what we have to be misfoiling in. And then mourn the fact that we don't have it. So let's start by a simple idea. We know that the Beis HaMikdash gave the Olam an opportunity. The person did an Avira. You bring a Korban, you come in. You do what you need to do with the Korban. That's it, you walk out of there squeaky clean. You don't need any purging in Gehenna for your Avira. Your Neshama is beautiful, white, clean and fluffy. That wasn't the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, Avodas Hashem with a beautiful, clean neshama is on a different level. We don't have that today. So if we do an Avera, it stains, it sullies, it dirties our neshama. And Avodas Hashem with an unclean neshama is not the same. And when is that going to get cleaned? If we do serious tshuva, Yom Kippur maybe. Otherwise, we're walking around with a sullied neshama for the rest of our lives. So the Klal Yisrael, the time of the Beis HaMikdash, had that tremendous might of having pure, clean neshamas, no aveiros that were done, were forgotten about. Another point. The Mishnah Novice tells us that there were 10 daily nisim that took place in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. 10 nisim galuyim every single day. It rained. But there was Atzim Arocha, there was a fire. The rain never put out the fire. Rain puts out fire, doesn't matter. There was Nisim Galuyim. You saw the Ribbono Shel Olam so clearly. And if you didn't see it, you knew about it. It was going on a daily basis. The Ribbono Shel Olam was there, so clear in your face. Today, so much hest upon him. And even we look at the incredible things that happened over the last year, but the hest upon him is so great. And in the community, Shiduchim, such a parsha. How many wonderful Benois Yisrael are there, upper 20s? Panosa, you have to be a wealthy man today to survive. Illnesses, and it's not just the older people, there's youngsters suffering ill. And what about children going off the derech? There seem to be new names, new faces, wherever you look. I have one of my own at home. Real hest upon him. The Gemara says that a malach in the time of Yeshaya had 6 wings. In the time of Yecheskel, only 4. 6, 4, what's the deal? Says the Vilna Gaon, the 6 wings in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, in the time of Yeshaya, corresponded to the 6 words in the Pasuk, Baruch Shem Kavoid Malchusoy Lo'ilom Voed. Those were the 6 wings. In the time of Yecheskel, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it was just Baruch Shem Lo'ilom Voed. The Kavoid Malchusoy was gone. There was no Kavoid Malchusoy anymore. Brechlem, where are you? Says the Gaon, and we daven, Galei Kavoid Malchuscha. Baruch Hashem, bring back that Kavoid Malchuscha. We're missing those 2 words. We're missing seeing you. So much hest upon him. Wherever you turn, there's so much Tzoros and Klal Yisrael. That's something we can mourn. Did we know the Beis HaMikdash? No, we didn't. But we can mourn the Hester Ponim of today. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was Gilui Kvod Shechina, clear as day. And the third thing, Klal Yisrael had an opportunity 3 times a year to go and visit the Beis HaMikdash and recharge, a spiritual recharge 3 times a year. That gave them from Pesach to Shavuos, Shavuos till Sukkot, and Sukkot through the winter. They were spiritually charged up, high flying in their ruchnias, able to serve in a Rebbeinu Shloim, beautiful. No wonder the Vilna Gaon couldn't imagine such a person in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, what they had in front of them. What about us? We don't have that spiritual recharge. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash to visit and get that recharge 3 times a year. I have to say that whilst we try and daven and learn, but it's not the same. I'm not speaking for everybody, but I'm definitely speaking for myself. Let's take out davening. Let's take out davening. See if it's spiritually charged up. So many of us come to davening because an Erech Yid goes to daven. It's something we've got to do. It's on our list. It's on our to-do list. We have to daven. So Shacharis Mincha Maariv, we tick it. We daven so that we have davened. And it hurts to say this, but I've been into a Chassidish Beis Medrash, and you see a different story. And it's not terrible, because we can always learn from that. But you see people davening with a geschmack. They actually love their davening. They're not davening so that they've davened. They're davening because they're connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's vara and it's geschmack, and they're really getting stuck in. But so much of our avodah is lackluster, lethargic. What about our learning? It's tremendous, the amount of extra learning that's going on. The dirshus and the rises, and it's amazing. I've got not a bad word to say about it. But what you see so often, and it's such a shame, is people coming along, ready to sit down, open the Gemara. Either the mobile comes out in front, or it's under the Gemara flap, or it's in their pocket, and they start learning, but they'll learn as long as the mobile's quiet. If something goes on, if there's a phone call or a text, we've got to stop. So who's the boss here? The mobile's the boss. And you're learning, calls them on, the boss doesn't need you. Is that how learning should look? Is that how learning should look? I want to tell you something I heard a few years ago, absolutely fascinating. There was a Yid in America who was making a simcha. And as it often happens when a Yid splurges out, a wealthy Yid splurges out for a simcha, he likes to give tzedakah as well at the same time. So he phoned up the Rav of Kiryat Sefer, and he told him that he's making a simcha, he wants to give on the same day, he wants to give a lot of money to some Talmid Chachamim. But he has criteria. His criteria are, I want to give it to people who are able to be fahed on half of Shas. Do you have any younger light in Kiryat Sefer who are able to be fahed on over 1,500 blot of Gemara today? So the Rav says, let me check this out. He calls his Rosh Kolim, all the people who have Kolim in Kiryat Sefer. They draft together an application form, and they put it out in the Kolim. And anybody who feels that they shaykh to them, they'll fill it in. They got over 40 applications. 40 applications, people in Kiryat Sefer who were able to be fahed on over half of Shas. It's incredible. And as they're going through the application forms, the different names, different addresses, different kolim they learn in, there was one very, very striking common denominator, where it had on the side mobile number. Every one of those 40 plus younger light had a line across. They didn't own a mobile. You can't really know over half of Shas Balpeh and have the mobile. Okay, so we're not in that league. Fair enough. We're not trying to get there. But are we able to put that mobile away? Go out and learn. And I'm telling you, the Eibishter will look after you. There'll be no emergencies during those few hours. The little bit of learning that we managed to do, are we the boss? Or is the mobile the boss? our learning is it's not always strong enough. And what about Avodas Hashem? So I'm in chinuch, and I deal a lot with kids. What I'm going to say is very frightening. The Gemara says in Gittin that there was 120 saw of tefillin boxes that was in a mound of three mounds of 40, 120 saw of tefillin boxes, but the people weren't alive anymore. They'd been killed in the Churban Beis HaMikdash. I remember hearing 30 years ago Rav Shimshon Pinkas bemoaning. He says, what's worse, Rabbi Yisai? Tefillin without heads? Or heads without tefillin? And he was referring to the fact that there's so many people in Klal Yisrael who don't wear tefillin. There's so many people who don't know about the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence. I heard a number, 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10 even are frum and erlich and keep Torah mitzvahs. That's a shocking number. And he was referring, he says, what's worse, tefillin without heads, like in the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Now it's much worse. We have the heads without the tefillin. And let me tell you, Rabbi Yisai, 2024, and this is scary, there are a growing number of our youth today who don't wear tefillin. And I'm not talking about kids off the derech. Kids on the journey, they're on their journey, mitzvah, they'll come back. I'm talking about kids in the system, in school, in the system, regular kids. Doesn't talk to them. There's nothing in it for them. They're unheard of. Check it, an 80-year-old today is not Mr. Day of Tefillin. Besides the Shabbos and Yontem, you put on Tefillin, you bar mitzvah, and it doesn't stop till the day you die. And it's a shocking phenomena, and it's growing. Kids are just not bothering. It's scary. We're lethargic. That's Churban Beis HaMikdash. Imagine we'd have our spiritual recharge 3 times a year. We'd be fired up. But we're not. We're not as we should be. So that's very sad. And that's something that we could really appreciate. We haven't got the karbonos to clean our neshamas. We don't have the gilui hashchina. We have so much hester upon him. And we have a lethargy towards our Torah mitzvahs. So what can we do about it? Until we get our Beis HaMikdash back, we have to do something about it. So let's tackle each one. Tefillah, Rabbi Yisai. My mum is talking to myself here. But tefillah is an opportunity to you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Imagine you try and get hold of a meeting, a one-to-one meeting with a local councillor. Not a chance. MP? Forget it. Prime Minister? Deishlofen. King? We have the opportunity, you and him, just the two of you. And when it comes to a moedim, Rabbi Yisai, nobody's moedim should come and go without serious contemplation of the chasodim the Ribbono Shel Olam's done. There are so many myriads of chasodim. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you made me with insulin, that I don't have to inject myself like so many sufferers, so many diabetics. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you made me with saliva, that I can enjoy my food more. Imagine eating a matzah or a cracker without saliva. Thank you, Hashem, you threw that in for free, didn't you? Thank you, Hashem, that you made something called pain, so that I know if Chas V'Shalom something's on its way, something serious, I can take care of it beforehand. Because you made something called pain. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you made a clotting agent in our blood, so that the blood clots. I have a friend who injects himself daily. He's a hemophiliac. Thank you, Hashem, for throwing that in for free as well. That was a freebie. There's so many things. There's hundreds of things we can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time and connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. No one's moedim should come and go without that. Our learning, as we said, can we try and learn just you and Hashem, just the real stuff? Keep the mobile at home, I promise you. There'll be no emergencies till you get back. You'll be fine. That learning, the bit of learning that we managed to do, should be solid, should be proper, undisturbed, not bossed around by a little machine. What about the Hester Ponim? What about the Hester Ponim? What are we going to do with that? So the emissary is that there's We have to work hard for it, but we can see the Rebbeinu anywhere and everywhere. There's so many unbelievable stories and chassadim that Hashem does for us. I have two, and I'm told which one to say over. They're both incredible. I might end up saying both. But just stories where you see the Rebbeinu Shem in front of you. There was a bocha, actually a chosim. And during his chosim period, he was working on a number of issues. One of the main issues, he was working on Shabbos. The concept of Shabbos and honoring Shabbos, the Mechabot Shabbos, the concept of Itzor Shabbos, Hashem gives it all back, etc. And one day a friend of his comes over and says, well, we want to go away for Shabbos. It's been an uplifting Shabbos. We'll go to Mekom HaSakdosh. Are you in? This bocha didn't have a penny. Didn't have a penny. But because he'd been working so hard on this Musag of Itzor Shabbos, yeah, I'm coming. And they went and had an amazing Shabbos, a bunch of five, Mekom HaSakdosh, on the way back on the bus. So the head bocha who was arranging the whole tour was making a cheshbon, how much it costs, and the dira, and the food, and the travel, etc. And it turned out to be 388 shekel, 60 agorot. 388.60. Okay. The bocha says, fine, I'll take care of it. Not a clue. But betmos, not a clue. Comes home, back to his dira, he had a birthday. It was his birthday. His birthday that night. His shver had decided to buy him a birthday present. Listen to this, Rabbi Sir. The birthday present was a wallet. It's a very common birthday present for a present, chos kana. The shver bought my birthday, but the shver had gone the extra mile and decided he's going to put one of each denomination of the Israeli currency. So there's a 200 shekel in there, there was 100, there was 50, there was 20, and now we're down to the coins, there was 10. 200, 100, 50, 20, 10. We're up to 380. There's a 5 shekel in there. There's a 2 shekel in there. And there's the 1 shekel. And we're up to 388. Not to forget the half shekel. And that little 10 agorot. 388.60. Waiting for him when he gets back to his dira. Wow, Rebbeinu Shlom, I can see you. I'm going to have to say the second story. It's just too good. There was a younger man living in Kiryat Sefer. Making ends meet. Just about. I'm basically talking about the whole of Kiryat Sefer right now. But this particular younger man was learning Gishmak, 3-star a day, just about somehow nisim, making it to the end of the month. He had one choiv, a medical choiv that he'd borrowed money for. The lender wasn't putting any pressure on him, but he tried to save. It didn't work. The choiv remained a choiv, and he made it to the end of the month, just about. One day he gets a phone call from a friend. And his friend says to him, I've got a job opportunity. It's a 6-month job opportunity. But you'll have to leave Koyl. You're going to have to leave Koyl and take on this job. 6 months, you can go back. He made a cheshbon, he'd probably be able to pay up his choiv that way. So he's thinking to himself, wow, Rebbeinu Shlom, thank you so much. Here's my opportunity to pay up that medical choiv. But then he thought to himself, one second, Rebbeinu Shlom, you can't pay me back that choiv. You can't help me close in the Gemara. So I want to learn, but you're telling me, Rebbeinu Shlom, that you're not big enough to sort it out any other way. I have to. Doesn't sound right, Rebbeinu Shlom. You're bigger than that. No, I'm staying. And he tells his friend, I'm staying. I'm sorry, I'm not taking the opportunity. And he carries on learning. Part one of the story. Part two of the story. This is incredible. A little car goes around Kiryat Sefer every year of Shabbos. And there's music, songs of Shabbos. And besides for the driver, there's a little kid in the car. And every so often the music stops and the kid announces the Zman Knisat Shabbat Arba Shloshim Shalosh, and everybody can hear the music, and you now know what time Shabbos comes in. And it goes on, the music carries on and it stops, the kid says the time, and this goes on 20 minutes, half an hour, every Erev Shabbos in Kiryat Sefer. One Erev Shabbos, the music changes every so often, and they started playing a song which MBD sings. It's Kid Lakti Neroisai Hitzati Mitos. It's a famous MBD song. The guy who made the song is the famous philanthropist Shlomo Yehuda Rechnitz. He actually is the machaber of the song. And MBD sings it. Apparently, Shlomo Yehuda Rechnitz has a son-in-law in Kiryat Sefer. Listen to this. Son-in-law phones up his father-in-law in America. He says, Daddy, you won't believe it. Guess what Kiryat Sefer bringing Shabbos in with? Your song, Kid Lakti. Wow, he's all excited. The whole of Kiryat Sefer, thousands and thousands of families are coming into Shabbos with his song. Then the son-in-law says, Daddy, listen, don't take my word for it. Put the phone down. Pick it up again and try. Dial 0-8-9-7-2-8, I think it's Kiryat Sefer, 974, and then just type in any 4. It's all from. You'll find somebody. great idea. Puts the phone down, picks it up again. 0972, I don't think he needed any cheap sort of calling system. 974, and then he lets his fingers tap any four buttons. Guy picks up the phone, and in his broken Hebrew, he says to him, tell me, what song do you bring Shabbos in with in Kiryat Sefer? And the younger man starts singing the song. Interesting, America on the phone, he starts singing the song. That song, Shlomi Zerach says, you know, that's my song. And you know, you've given me so much hanor just now. I owe you HaKoros HaToiv. What can I give you? So he said, no, Baruch Hashem, typical Kiryat Sefer. I have everything. I don't need it. Come on. I know. To cut a long story short, he forced him into admitting that he has a choiv, that it's a silent choiv, he's under pressure for it. How much is the choiv? No, it's... How much is your choiv? I'm a comfortable person. Kitzer, he tells him the choiv. It was a sizable amount. Shlomi Yerach tells him, I have a son-in-law. He has my checkbook with my signature signed. Go to his house now. He'll give you the check. Debt paid up. The chances are 1 in 9,999 that he should hit that younger man. But for the Rebbeinu Shlomo, that's not a big deal. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo is there. We look out for him. We have to work on our stories. We have to work on him. We can see the Rebbeinu Shlomo. A drosha on Yom Kippur, on Tisha, would be incomplete if we didn't talk about what actually brought that Beis HaMikdosh down. Chazal tell us, second Beis HaMikdosh, Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam, what does Sinas Chinam mean? We have reasons to hate the guy, but they're not reasons that the Torah allows. Nobody hates anybody for nothing. There's obviously a reason. No, that's not good enough. So we need to work on it, Rabbi. And I was just thinking, maybe two aspects of Sinas Chinam. We find it hard to forgive people. Fagin means to be happy with other people's successes. And dare I say, if some Hasidic Yid you've heard just now has hit the billion, wouldn't bother you so much. He's not my type. If some maybe Mizrahi family that you hear about have phenomenal kids, every one of them top of the range, best yeshivas, also doesn't bite you so much. It hurts when it's one of us, one of our type, who are just doing that much better. They daven better. They're better at learning. They're wealthier. Their kids get into the schools and yeshivas much quicker than ours. They do the best shidduchim, whatever that means. That's when it bites. But Rabbi Yisai, if you think about it, nothing to worry about. I once heard a moshe from Shimon Kaplan, fabulous. I live with this. There was once a film producer, massive guy, big fellow living in Texas, and he wants to bring out a new film. So he has a guy who writes the story, and he phones up a big actor in Australia. He says, come on, I'm flying you in to my ranch in Texas. I want to act in one of my plays. So he flies him in, he comes in. He says, no, where's the script? So he shows him the script, he reads through the script. This is the top actor, he reads through the script. Yeah, great story. So which part do you want me to do? So the film producer says, I actually had in mind for you the part of George. And the actor's face falls. He says, what? George? The Nebuch? The guy gets it all wrong in the story? What are people going to think of me afterwards? No, I can't do George. And the film producer says to him, don't think people are going to judge you as George. People are going to judge you by one thing and one thing only. How well are you playing George? If you play George's part well, you're a star. That's all. No one's going to look at you as George. It's how well you play George. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has put us into this world, and every single one of us have got a different set of circumstances. Every one of us. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, go out there and do your best in your circumstances. The Rebbeinu Shlomo gives you a child who's off the derech. Do your best. That's all you're supposed to do. Do the best in that. Give him all the love in the world. Is he going to become the Chazon Ish? Probably not. But it doesn't matter. Because I didn't give you a child who could become the Chazon Ish. I've given you a different set of circumstances. Whether it's that type of wife, that type of financial bracket, that type of family. Do the best you can. That's all I want from you. So why can't we forgive somebody else who's just seems to be having it a little bit easier than you, just one step ahead of you in every way? Maybe Hashem gave him an easier set of circumstances. Maybe Hashem didn't trust him with your set of circumstances. I always tell people Hashem gave me a child off the derech because he knew I could handle it. Maybe he couldn't, maybe others couldn't, so he gave it to me. I'm proud. I'm trying my best. And I hope when I get up there, Hashem will say to me, job well done. That's all I want. I'm not looking over my shoulder and seeing other people whose kids are going into Brisk and becoming the best Bokhrim, and my son's stuck in the moment on his journey. And there's another thing. We sometimes tend to look down at people who just don't do Torah and mitzvahs the way we do it. I personally always used to look down at people who came late to davening. It was something that just grated on me. And then my own circumstances forced me to realize, one second, that guy's coming late to davening. Maybe he has a real battle in the morning getting out of bed. And he's going to get more sky. You don't have any battle. I have it in my genes to come on time. I have a phobia. Honestly, I have a phobia of coming late. Crazy. If I walk into shul in the middle of brachas, I'll walk out and go somewhere else. Sounds mad. So am I getting schar for coming on time? Precious little. This guy was coming 10 minutes late, but he had to battle. He didn't have that. He was given a different set of rules. He might get more schar. I might need a pair of binoculars to see him in Olam HaEmes. He's sitting front row and he came 10 minutes late and I always came on time. Doesn't matter. So why are we looking down at other people? Rav Dessler writes very famously, every single person is only going to get schar from his Nekudas HaBechira and onwards. The Bani Tshuva, who are way down the totem pole in the amount they learn, the amount they know, they might be way ahead of us. They've made harder decisions and pushed themselves harder. We were born from, I never made a choice to become from. It wasn't difficult for me. To keep Shabbos was just no issue. I kept Shabbos from zero, so it's not a big deal. Am I getting schar? A little bit, but nothing like it. It's scary, but we shouldn't be looking down at other people. Let's be impressed with the Klal Yisrael, whatever they're doing. We don't know what they're fighting. I have a famous story of the kid who told his parents he's going off for 2 days. Told his parents, "Daddy, I'm going off for 2 days." "Really? I'm going off 2 days. Sunday and Monday I'm going off." Comes to Sunday, the kid gets up in the morning, goes to shul, goes to yeshiva. Next day, everything's exactly the same. Father says to the son, "I thought you're going off." "I understand. You seem to be davening beautiful. Your learning is amazing. It's gewaldig. You said you're going off." He says, "Yeah, I had to go off for you to realize all the good things I'm doing." So let's be impressed with everybody. Klal Yisrael, Avas Chinom, Avas Chinom. Let's love Klal Yisrael just because we're part of Klal Yisrael. I have to say, Rabbi Yisrael, forgive me for this, but it starts in the own four walls of your own house. The Chazon Ish writes, if a person does chesed outside the house and at home he's not behaving the way it should be to his spouse, waste of time. We measure your chesed and how you treat your spouse. And if you come home after a long day and the supper's not ready, or there is no supper at all, just stop and contemplate the chesed, the hakaras hatov you owe this woman. I heard Punt last week, somebody said, if men would have children, we'd die at childbirth from the pain. So it's time we had hakaras hatov for the wife that we have, the Bereshit gave us, and it's an avoida sometimes, you have to work on it. But Avas Azulas, Avas Chinom starts at home and then spread it further out. And one final thought, Kolam Yisabel Alu Yishalayim, Zoyche V'roye B'simchoso. We have to be Misabel Yishalayim. I once heard a moshel as follows. There was once a king who had a very close friend and advisor, very, very close to him. And they shared all secrets, everything. And one day the king found out the advisor was spilling the secrets elsewhere and he was fuming with him. He called together a bunch of advisors. "What should I do with this guy?" And the advisor said, "Listen, we'll let you do what you want to do, but I want to tell you, emotional punishment, emotional pain is worth a lot more." So the king said, "Fine, okay. So I'm going to create some emotional pain for this kid." They got a whole, the center of the town, it was a crossroads, it was a big roundabout. He got a huge glass cage built there. And he put 20 pigs into that glass cage. And this guy, his friend. And that was it. And now the guy was living with 20 pigs day in, day out. After a couple of days, the guy's starving. But he's not eating acorns, that's all they're getting. But he's starving, so Pateres Breira, after a few days, he starts nibbling on an acorn. And this went on slowly but surely. He started getting a bit more involved. And one day, a friend of his drove past, came home and burst into tears. His wife said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I just drove past Yankel." "But you drive past Yankel every day, in the morning, afternoon. What was today different?" He said, no, today was different. "Every time I drove past the uncle, I saw him there. He looked like he didn't belong. He was on the side. They were there today. For the first time, I saw he was on all fours. He was mamash part of that 20 pigs. Had the king pardoned him till today, with a bit of therapy, he'd have got away with it. From today onwards, he's gavana pig. There's no hope anymore." As long as we are uncomfortable here in Golos, as long as we're uncomfortable, when Mashiach comes, we'll be fine. If we're comfortable here, forget it. We've got to make sure that we are not comfortable. And how can we be? Look around, Rabbi Isai. The Goyim hate us, whether they say it or not, they hate us. Look at society, how it's dropping. I remember the first time I saw, I was registering my child in for a birth in the office there. This is a government office, and I see a same-gender marriage, the first two. I want to throw up on the spot. It's years down, and this is our society, it's what we live in. How can we feel comfortable here? Rabbi Isai, we cannot feel. It's time to get out of here. It's time to move on. We're not wanted. As long as we have that feeling, Mitzvah, when Mashiach comes, be gemaltig. Final bracha, ba'ish, hitzata, the Rebbein Shleilam, got rid of the Beis HaMikdash, ba'ish, ba'ish, ata osa livnois, the Rebbein Shleilam is going to bring back the Beis HaMikdash, ba'ish. If we can put power into our tefillah, power into our contemplating the Rebbein Shleilam with emunah, if we can put power into our learning, and our Vedas Hashem, Mitzvah Shem will be zoicha very soon to be as Beis HaMikdash, Mehir V'Yameinu.